Hey all, anybody online? Anybody else on?
Yes, Mick, it's Vipin.
I think it's just us for the moment, right?
That's what I heard. The announcement. Again, you know, I think it's, I had to re-get this, grab this meeting ID.
Yeah. The Tracy sent around an invite to in the architecture working group, that the mailing list that actually was the correct one. And given that everybody's flying back from yesterday, we might want to just cancel for today and
get some
writing done. I guess we can use the time, and I can bring up to speed. Hart and I spent a bunch of time trying to talk through how to take the usage and turn it into something we can use for the evaluation.
Yeah, that's
and I can probably just get you up to speed on that if that helps. So
definitely, because I have been puzzling that over. Got the feeling that in the past couple of weeks you were just sort of not getting anywhere.
Well, I think we got to the point where we realized that we were making it too complex, or at least I realized I was making it too complex, at least as a starting point. I think we can extend it out. So the gist of what Hart and I discussed was we need to boil this usage down to an abstract kind of information flow that's reflective of the concern. So what I've kind of outlined to him as something we should write up was first section is kind of the abstract requirements. So party A and party B share a contract. The details of the contract are available only to party A and party B. The existence of the contract and the provability is public, right? Party A may selectively disclose portions of the contract to a set of additional parties. Those parties have to be able to verify the integrity of the information that they've received. And they must be able to make a commitment back to party A in the form of a bid for purchase of the contract. Party A must be able to select amongst those bids and transfer ownership of the contract to the selected factor. Now, there's some additional things that I was putting in there, like, you know, we may want to have some of the details of the contract are only available to the actual owner of the contract. Some may be used in exchange with the factory. It just it gives us a little more complexity in the problem. So anyway, so we write that up, and I don't think that needs to be all that difficult, but I want to make sure that we've got the sort of visibility constraints expressed. Hart's suggestion then was that we go back to kind of the UC model and actually write the, if you had a perfect computing system, exactly how would it work in order to implement that? And then we can use that as a comparison for, and this is where Hart and I kind of had a little disagreement about what the appropriate thing to do is. But then we use that in what I would like to see is that we use that as a means of describing by example how the platforms, what privacy means to the different platforms, right? So how would Fabric take this usage and this ideal system and implement the usage? And what are the differences between the ideal system and the Fabric implementation for it?
Okay. So what does UC mean?
Well, this is Hart's, what is it, universal computer, whatever.
Oh, okay.
So your first implementation is, what would your perfect system do?
Right? Okay. I get it now. It brings to mind Turing and all that stuff, I guess.
Well, yeah, and I think the idea is that if you can describe what your security model is in terms of what the perfect computer would do, then you can describe how a practical, pragmatic system differs from your universal system.
Sure. And so what was your disagreement with him?
Oh, that was my proposal. He's not really all that interested in it. He's more interested in actually coming up with a real system that would implement that, as opposed to evaluating the existing systems with it.
Hmm.
So he wants to come back and say, okay, here's the technology we would need in order to actually do this usage, which I kind of completely agree with at some point. But I think the more useful output would be something that gives us a way of expressing what each system is capable of doing more concretely.
Yeah, in the current setup, the problem is, can this privacy stuff be expressed in the current setup is one thing, but I doubt whether we have enough clout. Well, I don't want to use the word clout, but influence to make the necessary changes to that, to these systems to implement it. In the ideal way, which, there may be other ways of doing this. Like, most of the things do out of band stuff, right? I mean, you keep all the stuff, the things that you don't want revealed out of the blockchain, and then interchange using some out of band systems. I mean, which is what essentially the architecture they've used, for example, in Indy, is the proofs are there, but the real data is interchanged on a higher level. And mm-hmm. that's because they're using this plenum thing. In the channel concept, of course, the channels unfortunately do not cannot, once you invite someone into the channel, they can see everything that has happened. It's not like they can see stuff from the moment they're invited in. It is, and the second thing that we modeled, which was like a marketplace where every bid is only visible to the supplier, not to the factors, other factors. That's like a marketplace. I think they have implemented some kind of a marketplace approach in Ethereum and all that, but I don't know, you know, how exactly they've done it. I mean, like, there are several implementations, but all of them use, you know, these kind of, not something that is inherent to the ledger itself, but.
Yeah, you have to combine it with off-chain storage, and you're essentially using the ledger as a notary service for a lot of these things.
Yeah, except of course, Corda itself is able to do this, and they have what's called transaction tear-offs and all that. And I know that one of the systems has, one of their POCs has implemented this, or something similar. Marco Polo, you know, it's a trade finance, but it's run by TradeIX, you know, who want to set up what they call a universal trade network and all that. I mean, it's you know, they are able to do this in Corda, but I don't know what would happen if you try to do it in Sawtooth. I don't have enough knowledge of Sawtooth to suggest anything. And what about Iroha or Burrow or one of those things?
Yeah, and I think getting, you know, being able to understand and to go back into each of those and see what they have, I think would be, it would give us a way of talking about representative functions for privacy and security. Well, privacy.
Yeah. So apparently Brian is, or somebody is talking about privacy and security in one of these big get-togethers here in New York City. Like, there are two of them. One is Synchronize, which is with DAH and various other companies. And then Consensus, you know, they have this huge, you know, 2 or 3 day conference here. Every year it becomes bigger. I don't know whether you ever attended one of those. Yeah, I mean, you know, we have the East Coast ones, you have the West Coast ones, I guess. That's how we stay sane so that we don't have to attend every damn conference out there. So how was the Hackfest, by the way?
It was interesting. The day one was reasonably well attended. It was not even as big as some of the.
Hey guys, sorry I'm late.
Hey, Ron. So it wasn't as big as, like, it was, certainly wasn't as big as some of the New York ones, and it was barely as big as some of the San Francisco ones. And then a lot of people left after, or day zero, whatever. And then a lot of people left. So the number of people for Wednesday was pretty low, but there was a lot of work getting done.
That's great.
So
Ram, we had just finished talking about what Hart and Mick were discussing, and we decided that, you know, it was just the two of us at that point. So we decided that we should probably work a little more on the document and reduce it to a some kind of an abstract use case, and then try to map it to the one to a ideal universal computer to then try to map to some of the existing DLTs like Fabric, Sawtooth, Iroha, etc. That's where we left. Then we started talking about the Hackfest.
Sounds like a good plan. I guess the key is to get from the use case to the requirements, right?
Yeah. Looks like they have succeeded in getting that. I was only remarking on one thing, which was the marketplace character of the bids, where the bid, I mean, it's not even like a marketplace because it's more like an auction, I guess, where every person's, it's not even a public auction, right? I mean, it's almost like a
closed.
Yeah, I mean, not only close, but close to each other in the sense that the factors do not see the other bids, but the supplier sees all the factors bids and chooses the best, you know?
Right.
Best for their purpose. So right. It may not be just based on price. It may be based on other characteristics. Anyway, so... yeah, I think we kind of came to a conclusion there. So, you know, maybe it's time to start another document with this kind of a reduced use case and then do the other stuff that...
Yep. So do we want to wait for everybody else or do we want to just get going on something and put something together for today?
I think we should just get started, see how much progress we can make. Who's on?
It's just the three of us.
Well, let's go. So Mick, did you and Hart put something down on one of the docs?
We put together an outline for what we thought would go in it. We couldn't come to consensus. on Hart's interest is more in kind of coming up with the correct solution, and my interest was more in
more practical.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's how do you do it to analyze existing platforms? So.
I mean, let me put that word in there because, I mean, I think before anything, the interface, like Ram always says, the functional requirements, put that in. And then we can start with the next step, I guess.
Yeah, I would say let's get, you know, I think there's common ground in just saying capture the use case and capture the functional requirements coming out of the use case, right? So let's do that.
That is already, I mean, Mick sort of said it already, so we can.
So let me go through. The suggestion for the paper outline, and by the way, I'm adding this into the notes. So,
okay, great.
Sorry, I'm not on the Zoom meeting.
Yeah, I know it's a
web thing, but it was my computer was doing a very helpful Windows update while we were starting this conversation, and I just didn't feel like going that direction. Anyway, so. So I'm just editing the notes sections if you want to join in on
yeah.
that. So suggestion for the paper outline, one would be the abstract use.
Which was, can you post a link on Rocket Chat so I can find?
Yeah. I do have Rocket Chat this notes. Morning. Where the heck did this go? There we go.
Do we have you have a link to the wiki in the wiki somewhere to the meeting
yes.
notes?
Yeah, it should be in the wiki as well. It's in Rocket Chat now as well.
I can't. Everything is blocked. I can't get onto Google Docs, which is really a real problem for me. And I have to use my tablet, and then I'm on Zoom, and you know, it's like not like being on a computer with, you know, where you can actually open multiple windows and stuff. I mean, you can open multiple windows on the tablet too. Maybe that's what I should try.
All right. So proposal for the outline, abstract use case, describe, extract the critical components from Vipin's usage. Second is...
Do you want to use my name there? And I don't think so.
Anyway. Why not? I'll leave it there. You should be proud of it. Hey, you put... It's been a good point for discussion, right? Okay, so...
I put quite a bit of work into it, that's for sure. Whether it went anywhere or not, that's what I'm still doubtful about.
Excuse me.
Looks like you have a little cough or something.
I do, and it's not bad enough for me to justify staying home, and just bad enough to be extremely annoying.
It's not too annoying. Don't worry.
No. Go away.
At least. Let me try opening that.
Mick, when you say abstract use case, within that, were you thinking about extracting the requirements, or shall I put that down as a new bullet?
I was thinking about extracting using that to describe the requirements. But yes, add that in there as a note just to make sure.
Okay.
But you already sort of described the requirements pretty succinctly there, Mick, when you started, when you talked about it.
Yeah, so I just have to capture that.
Yes. Did you record? It's recorded. We just need
to- Oh, yeah. Hey, I just have to go back and transcribe it.
Yeah, you did it pretty succinctly, like in probably about a minute, you described the two things.
Well, it took Hart and I quite a while to get to that minute's worth of stuff the other day, just trying to work through it. So I sent around in the Rocket Chat another link to just where we can put the paper.
Okay.
Oops. Heading one.
So this is in the architecture working group, Rocket Chat.
Yes. I think the other one, let's just, for heart's sake, I have to put this in. What to call it?
So that link says comment only. I don't know why.
Really? Because Ram, weren't you?
Ram is in there. Yes, I see him.
I'm in here. I was able to add text to it.
Okay. Yeah, I know why, because it's probably not opening it properly in the Drive app.
Oops.
Do you want to take a stab at writing the...
The abstract usage? Yep.
Yeah.
So again, this is not final text. So, there's a contract between participants S and, is it purchaser or buyer?
What's that?
Pippin, is it the purchaser or buyer? Do you care?
Yeah, buyer. Lesser syllables, the better. The Hemingway school of thought. Okay, right so far, Pippin? You're talking about the. Okay, let me see.
So I'm in the paper, just actually writing. So.
Okay.
And the factors have to commit to their bids, right?
Yeah, I mean it's like any. they may have, you know, a two-step process or something.
Yeah, for the abstract piece of it,
they are, once they've released it, it's committed. It's like any, like if you're bidding in the marketplace, like if you put a, if you want to buy share using your, the bid gets filled, right?
Yep.
Using your E-Trade or whatever, you know. Well, the contract may not be a single thing, but
for the purposes of this, let's just leave it at one thing. I completely agree. We can generalize that later.
I think there are three things that get there, not just two. The two that I mentioned are the invoices and the purchase orders, and the other thing that may affect is the logistics, like the bill of lading or something, which describes whether the goods are in transit or have been delivered or whatever. Not only describes, but it actually is proof. So for that purpose, we have collapsed all that into one concept, which is contract, right?
Yes.
And Bin made another point, which is that actors must be able to verify that the contract exists. And S is the supplier in the contract, and B is the buyer, I guess. Because in the end, it results in the contract between the supplier and buyer transferring to the one between a factor and the buyer.
Yep.
Wow, you're
this is a bit of short factor and supplier.
But on the other hand, there's also the payment, right? Because the bid results in a payment.
But I'm not worried about that. That's just the future. Remember, we're focusing on the confidentiality issues on this one, not the full transactions. Okay. I just need to be able to do the sort of the handoff of information, right?
All right. All right. Because of course, immediately there's the DVP there. I don't think there's that much of a selective disclosure in that contract, because the buyer, the factor really has to see a lot of things. Otherwise, they can't. But in case you want to put that in, just to make sure that part is satisfied, that's okay.
All right. Ram, what do you think of that?
So far, so good.
I think we can probably go one more level kind of abstraction, but I think the notion of having the factors and suppliers is appropriate. So that feels like, now, when you talk about functional requirements, what would you like to see us add in there?
So there would be ability for S and B to keep C private.
Are you in a position to write?
Sure.
Hey, you're a hamster today.
I am. Okay. I can't see what I am myself. I can only see you guys.
Bippin's a penguin.
Bippin's a penguin, but I don't see what I am. A hamster. Okay. So, up to Bippin's, have the ability to keep data private.
The penguin just corrected. Anyway, doesn't matter.
Participants have the ability to keep data private and choose and have the ability to choose when and with whom to disclose. All or parts of the data, right? That's what the first paragraph applies, right? So you have S and B, they have private data between them. And then at some point, you know, with B's consent, maybe not, I don't know, it depends on the use case, S is able to share all or part of that data with S, right? So that's the first requirement, right? Should we break that up into, that has many things captured in one. You can break that up into the constituent parts, right? First one, the ability
to
keep data
about the contract private. Data.
Ability.
I got it.
When and with whom to disclose data. Participants have the ability to selectively disclose part of the data with chosen parties.
Sorry.
Okay, each factor may create a bid and must commit to it publicly. So the details of the
publicly.
Bid are tied exclusively.
Not publicly.
Okay.
Don't they have to commit to the bid? The commitment, the bid is private, but the commitment is public.
Well, it can be public or it doesn't have to be public.
Well, we're working with a ledger. Having a commitment is a good thing.
Yeah, but, you know, unless there's linkability, right? I mean, in the sense that somebody observes a ledger and sees that some company...
For this particular, for the value of this, that actually is a really good thing.
Well, only if there is a contract dispute will the,
But remember, our point is not to build this system. Our point is to use this as a means of evaluating the systems. So if there's an opportunity for linkability, it'll give us a good way of adding that into the evaluation.
Okay.
I guess we should think about maybe add some
linkability.
Yeah. So
meaning there's a privacy concern there, right? Meaning like I'm doing business with, let's say, a mining company to buy ore. You know, Intel is doing that. And you don't want AMD to see that.
I totally agree with you. So my ideal system hides linkability.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
Yeah. So, you know, there are two ways of, I guess, if it's a completely obscured ledger like Corda, then you don't even need to specify that because only the parties will see it. But if it's not, then, then you have to use other means to hide that. So Ram, you were there too, right? At the
I was there on Wednesday.
Yeah, because you participated in the identity call. From there. And I could hear you very faintly, but then I think when there are lots of people, it becomes very difficult to write the document like you guys are doing just now. You know?
Well, if there are six of us, it's kind of a pain. But actually, Ram's gotten really good at sort of leading the writing on these. We had, what, seven or eight people writing, finishing up the smart contract paper, and we got a lot done on the identity one, too.
Yeah, I saw that. Because I'm wondering how I'm going to do this with the identity working group paper. Yeah.
Okay, so sorry, how do we capture the requirement in the functional requirement sections for lack of linkability?
Where is that? That comes in the next step, which is the whole business with choosing the bid, right?
Okay. I choose one bid, an executor transfer, one bid, an executor transfer of ownership of the contract to the recipient. Generated bid. Participant.
Generated bid that was selected.
Yep. Okay, so I think down here in the functional requirements, others in the system may not know the identity of the purchaser
No, it may not be the purchaser of the contract. It may not, others in the system may not know the identity of the bidders.
Okay, yep.
Nor the identity of the winning bid.
I guess the question,
not even the guys who lost.
Yeah, okay, so we can turn that into a identity of the bidders must be kept confidential to the supplier.
Identity of the bidder, and I think the requirement may be even stronger.
No, it's not kept confidential to the supplier.
What do you mean?
Identity of the bidders are kept confidential between each other, not to the supplier. Suppliers is going to
Vipin, it means kept confidential to the supplier, meaning only the supplier can see it.
Yeah, meaning only that the supplier and the bidder can see it, yeah.
Okay. But suddenly you start talking about suppliers here. Before you were just talking about participants.
Well, and I'm trying, again, so I'm actually going back and trying to remove my references to factors and suppliers and other things like that.
Okay.
So my intention is to have the only place where I have supplier, buyer, and factors is in the sort of link that I have to the identifiers, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think the functional requirements, we should, you know, make it as generic as possible and do the bidder.
Yeah.
So at a later stage, we can go back and even remove the bidder or whatever and make it even more generic, right? But let's keep it there for now. More information process must be.
I think calling them bidders rather than calling them factors is fine, but.
No information about participant must be revealed to any other party. I guess practically, you know, I don't know if the buyer gets some information because the seller, the bidders might want more information from the buyer. I don't know if that's the case or not. But
I mean, I think there are lots of different ways in which it works. For example, if I buy this stuff, then I can sell it on without the supplier even agreeing to it.
Right.
It becomes a marketplace. But in the end, the collection has to happen against the buyer, right?
Right. Okay. So let's keep that maybe as a detail. For now, this is fine, I think. Identity of the bidders must be confidential to us and the bidder. No information. You can probably separate that out into a more. No information about participating in bidding process with any other party.
Okay, I think this is pretty good at this point. Maybe there should be a couple of more.
It still feels like we're a little light on the functional requirements, but I think we're getting.
No, I mean, even if we can do this, I mean, like, you know.
Let me choose one bidding suit to transfer ownership of the contract.
This looks pretty good, actually.
Yeah, this is, I think, functional requirement-wise, you know.
Ram, what do you think?
I think we're making good progress. I'm just rereading the last paragraph and seeing if there's any other functional requirement not captured in the abstract use case.
So in the functional requirements, we are... Okay, let me think. So, must transfer visibility rights. So there's a notion, so there's a requirement that we have to be able to modify
yeah, but the buyer doesn't see, for example, the spread that the bidder used. All he knows is this is the new owner of the invoice.
Right, so...
So the bid details are not revealed, but only the
fact. I think we've got that captured.
Yes.
It's more than visibility rights, I guess. It is entitlement to.
To collect.
That's just a function of the contract.
Yeah.
That's kind of out of band for the moment. Ram, I think we're chewing on the same thing. There's a notion. There's something here.
Right. So starting from the top, the buyer has. Buyer, in some sense, maybe the seller, I don't know, at least the seller definitely seems to have the entitlement to control who sees what, right? That's what's captured in the first line and first two lines, right? And then that entitlement gets transferred with the transfer of the asset itself, right? Participants have the ability to keep data private. So this could be entitlement to control control access to data, right?
Yep.
Transfer of ownership must transfer transfer entitlement to access control rights. Entitlement to access control rights. Data access control rights. Does that make sense? Actually, that entitlement to data access control applies to all of these. These are aspects of those, right?
Yep.
and we can go down to even more detail, but I think this is a good start.
Yeah, I think, you know, the functional requirements should be kept pretty simple, don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, what I was thinking of specifically was what of those access control rights is it, it does the selling of the contract, does the buyer retain any, or is it again selective about what entitlement the, what access control rights get transferred? Is it, does the buyer still have some control over it? Should it be partial or not? But that's a more advanced use case. But so let's keep it simple for now. But that was what was going through my mind when I said it could be more complex.
Meaning what? What the buyer has the right to do what?
You know, maybe the guy who, the bidder gets access control rights only for some of the original contract, right? Or maybe we should, if you were talking about...
He certainly cannot change any of the data in the contract.
Okay.
In fact, I don't think the once the invoice is completely, let's say, signed off between the buyer and the seller, or rather the buyer sends the invoice, the seller sends the invoice to the buyer, and after that, you know, and so the contract is now like a three-way thing, right?
Right.
I mean, there are three things in that contract. One is the actual purchase order. Second is the invoice. And third is the logistical proof that the data, that the thing has been delivered or is on its way or whatever, you know. And that keeps changing. That part keeps changing, right? And maybe controlled by somebody else, the shipper or the,
right.
You know, so I don't know how to bring all of that into this picture, but definitely. And once the transfer takes place, the only change that can happen in the contract is the terms, meaning if the buyer is not able to pay, then what happens?
You know? Right. I mean, I think we're at the top of the hour. Unfortunately, I have to jump.
Yeah, I got to check off too.
Okay.
Good discussion.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I think the lesser number of people there are, the more gets done in these things.
Yeah.
There is something to be said for that.
Yes. Good stuff. I like
okay.
it.
All right.
Awesome, guys. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Vipin. Thanks, Ram.
Thank you.
Bye for today.